Welcome to today's episode of the Normalize Surrogacy podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, surrogacy agency founder, and owner of Surrogacy Mentor, where our aim is to help surrogates match with reputable surrogacy agencies for a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Today, I am again happy to welcome back Surrogacy Mentor's intake coordinator and three-time surrogate, Marielle Schubert. Welcome, Marielle.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
So welcome back. Today, we are talking about a topic that we've kind of covered a little bit in different conversations in the podcast, but it's an important one. So we felt like digging back into this was important, and that is the commitment involved in agreeing to do a surrogacy journey as a surrogate. Commitment starting from the day you apply all the way through until after you deliver.
Yep.
This is one that's important, I think, right? Something that needs to be talked about a little bit more.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. So what we're talking about today is really about, between the two of us, Marielle and I have done four surrogacies and ourselves as surrogates. And then I've managed and helped to manage hundreds as a surrogacy agency founder. And so, we've watched the process not only personally, but also professionally. And one of the biggest indicators of how a surrogacy journey is going to go from the very, very beginning is how communicative and committed is the surrogate to the process from day one. So I know from the very first contact that we have with a surrogate applicant, I can pretty much tell just based on the frequency of communication and the level of follow-up and follow-through on the different things that are requested, I can almost tell from the very beginning with about 99% accuracy who's going to make it all the way through to actually get matched with parents. Would you agree that it's pretty clear from the very beginning?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. So when we talk about commitment as a surrogate and dedication to the process, and we try to really get people to understand how important it is to be educated on what that looks like before they commit to the process and why it's so important. So let's talk about from day one, when a surrogate, let's say they go to the Surrogacy Mentor website and they see our quiz and they fill out a quiz, right? So what's happening when they fill out the quiz? And it comes to us. Let's just talk about what it looks like on this side.
Yeah. So once that comes through and we see that you've kind of met the basic requirements for surrogacy, you'll receive a follow-up email either way. And it starts here, follow up on the follow-up email. From the quiz, you'll be sent our full application. And we need you to fill out that application so we can make sure that we dive a little bit deeper into the qualifications past the kind of basics, and make sure that that application is done so we can review that information so that way we can decide whether or not that more information about the qualifications is met so that way we can schedule a Zoom interview. So if you do pass the kind of next round of qualification through our application, you'll be sent another email to schedule a Zoom meeting with yours truly. And getting that meeting scheduled, get that Zoom meeting with me scheduled so that way we can discuss a little bit deeper about your application, any questions that I have on that, any questions you have, kind of talk about next steps. So when we talk about commitment to even that, starting that process, I can't tell you how many times I've had women even do the application, do the quiz, sign up for the Zoom meeting and not show up for the Zoom meeting, and then reschedule the Zoom meeting and not show up for the Zoom meeting several times. And that's obviously things happen. We understand, you know, it does happen, but when it happens over and over, it's not really a strong start. It's not looking good for your ability to keep up with the larger amounts of communication that are going to be necessary moving forward. So I always stress communication. You know, we're working moms too. We get it. Stuff happens. Life happens. Things come up. let us know. That's okay. It's understandable.
Yes. So I think if there's a bullet point we could put on this sort of first beginning stage, it's make sure you have the time in your life for surrogacy before you start that process. So of course, we want people to reach out and ask general questions if they're just investigating the process. And that's why we have on our website things like chat with a surrogate, and you can book just an informal chat. Doesn't require a quiz or an application or anything. You can just book an informal chat with Marielle, and you can just ask all the questions you'd like, or you can just shoot an email over without having to do a chat and just ask questions. So we never discourage that. But if you've made the decision, okay, I'm going to actually apply, I'm going to actually fill out this application and really start seeing if this is something I could do, that's when the commitment to communication starts, right? And yep. It does take follow-up. It does take, we do ask that there's quick responses, that there's reasonable levels of follow-through and follow-up. And it sort of starts at that point, what I like to call the hurry up and wait game of surrogacy. Everything with surrogacy from day one till the last day is hurry up and wait, right? You're hurrying up to get all your documents and forms and signatures in so that we can do our screening. And then we got to wait on the doctors to get us your medical records. And then once we get those, we're getting those processed. And now it's let's get you scheduled for the next part of the screening. And then once that's done, then we're waiting on XYZ, right? So understand as a surrogate applicant that there's going to be a lot of hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. And that's just the nature of surrogacy. Once you're finally all the way to the point where you can get pregnant, you have an embryo transfer, and then you got to wait for the results.
Yep.
And then you got to wait for the first ultrasound. And so getting used to that rhythm of hurry up, be very communicative, very responsive, get all the stuff in that we're asking you for, and then be ready to sort of sit back and wait it out for the next step. As frustrating as it is for everyone, us included, that's just the rhythm of surrogacy. But during the hurry up times, right, it's really important that a surrogate applicant is super committed to checking those emails every day, sometimes multiple times a day, making sure that any forms that need to be filled out or signed are done properly and quickly, and then staying in communication with us or the agency, whomever it is that's processing your application. And this is where I said, we can tell pretty much from this stage and the level of communication and follow through, who's going to make it all the way through, because it's not for the faint of heart, right? This, even just the application process, I remember I'm a type A personality, and I remember going through the application process, and I was the one saying like, okay, I sent you my forms. When am I going to hear from you next? What's the next step? When am I going to hear back? Yeah. And yeah, those are the ones we love as surrogacy mentor and as agencies. We love those applicants who are like hounding us for information, because we know they're on top of it. They're committed, they're excited, and they're going to follow through on everything we send their way.
Exactly.
We're the ones chasing down information, and we're the ones chasing down follow-ups. We start to get a little nervous that as the process wears on, that's only going to get worse. So let's talk about why that's a problem. Like, it's not that we are just like, you know, type A personalities who just want all the T's crossed and I's dotted immediately. Why is it important that there's a level of commitment and follow through from day one as we progress through this process?
Right. Well, I think as you kind of touched on, there's so much of surrogacy and the surrogacy process that is out of your control. We're waiting for medical records to come back. That's out of our control, right? You're waiting to hear back from the fertility clinic. You're waiting on your cycle. There's so much that is out of your control, but there are some things that are within your control, and that if you can't commit to getting those things done, it just pushes everything else back. And so much of this hurry up and wait is dependent on getting those first things started. So even though it could take, you know, a few weeks to get your medical records back, I can't even start that few week wait until I get those forms signed from you. And so if you can't kind of commit to helping us get the ball rolling, the ball kind of gets stuck at the top of the hill, and then you have to wait even longer. And so I always like to say, kind of focus on what we can do. And what we can do is sign the stuff that we send, especially at Surrogacy Mentor. We try to make this as easy and painless as possible for you. I go through and I fill out the records request form. So all you need to do when I send that to you is verify the information on there and do your e-signature. Easy peasy. I'm not asking you to go through and fill out. We've already done all of that. And so we really try to make it as easy and painless as possible for you. And when you can't even do, I did the hard work. If you can't even do the easy stuff, like I said, it really just doesn't help. But there's so much kind of waiting involved that we don't need to be waiting on silly things. There's plenty of big things to have to wait on. Let's get the stuff going. Like I said, let's get the ball rolling. We can't do that unless you kind of help us along here. And that comes down to your commitment as well. We can't be the only ones doing this. This, it has to be you wanting to do it. It's kind of, you know, getting kids to do things too, or dating somebody, or whatever your life is. If you're not doing it for yourself, then there's only so much that we can do. We want, you know, women who are excited and ready to do this, not ones that are feeling like we've got to kind of pull along. If you're feeling pulled along in this process, then this isn't the right process for you. We want you to be excited and ready to kind of move forward. And if you're not in that place, or you're not in that place yet, that's understandable. It is a huge commitment. It is. And if you're just not ready for that, but you're like, oh, surrogacy sounds great, wait until you are ready to commit to the little things and the big things, the committing to the paperwork and screenings, and committing to waiting as well while, you know, everything kind of goes. And it's okay to, we would rather you kind of get some information and decide, oh, this sounds great, but I'm not ready yet, than to get halfway through this screening process, or even get matched with an agency and get halfway through that with them, and then decide like, ooh, nope, this isn't it. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here, is to really explain what this commitment is, so that you understand it is a lot and it should be a lot, but you should be ready for the whole thing before you kind of move it any further in the process.
Absolutely. And I think what you said about, if you feel that you're being pulled along during the application and initial screening process, then that might be a sign that you're not ready. And I think that that goes for anything in life, right? If you're starting a new relationship and you feel like every step is like you're walking through mud, or you're just not really excited about it, or if you're starting a new job or got a job offer and you're like, eh, or just not feeling motivated about it, those are all signs that maybe it's not the right fit, right? And that same thing goes for surrogacy, because as we've discussed before, and as is outlined on our website, you know, surrogacy is usually about an 18 to 24 month commitment. I mean, you're looking at a good year and a half, 2 years of your life. If you add up all the application, screening, legal, medical, pregnancy, delivery, all of that, I know for me, it was the 2 years of my life. And so this is a long marathon, not a sprint. And so you are signing up for a process that has many hills and valleys, many ups and downs, many hurry ups and waits. And if you're not feeling super committed and drawn to this process in your gut and in your heart from the beginning, it's not going to get much easier as you go along. That's not to say that you can't have questions and be investigating it in the beginning and have someone help you answer those questions to see if you're ready. But once you've done that investigation process and you've asked all your questions and you've got all the details, if you then decide to take that next step to actually apply and move forward with screening, that's when you've got to feel it in your heart and your mind and your gut, like, this is something I feel called to do. This is something that my family and I are committing to do, and I'm going to show up and be responsive and communicative and do all the things that need to happen to get me from steps 1 through 100 until this process is done.
Exactly.
And that kind of leads me to my next point, which is when we talk about commitment, we're not just talking about the surrogate, right? We're talking about our whole family. And that includes spouse or partner, if she has one, and her kids, and making sure that the family has room in their life for a process that's going to take up a lot of her time, a lot of her energy, a lot of her emotions. I mean, just pregnancy in general is going to take up all of those things, right? And then you add the other layer of you're doing this for someone else. This pregnancy is for someone else's child. You're working with multiple professionals, an agency, medical clinic. There are lots of extra layers to this than just a normal pregnancy. And so the family as a unit needs to be on the same page that, hey, mom isn't going to be available as much as she was because she's going to be working on getting to this point with intended parents. And then once she's pregnant, she's going to be pregnant. And so talk a little bit about having done three surrogacies with two kids of your own and a husband. And, you know, what did it take for you to stay present with your family obligations as well as your surrogacy obligations?
Yeah, I got really lucky that not only was my husband supportive of me, but he really was like extra supportive, where he wasn't just like, yeah, I guess if you do what you want to do, but he was really present and supportive of the whole thing. Like, what can I do to help here? And so that was really helpful, especially because there were some hurdles thrown our way. So I definitely leaned on him a lot emotionally through some of the hard stuff. And then other things, you know, there is pelvic rest involved in some of this process, which if you don't know, pelvic rest means no penetrative sex. And so my husband was a trooper through all of that. And then little things that you didn't think about was, you know, towards the end of your pregnancy, there are some travel restrictions. So summer vacations looked a little bit different for us at certain times and things like that. So we just kind of had to get creative with family coming to us and kind of finding staycations to go to. And I found just kind of involving my kids in the process was super helpful with them kind of being on board. Mia would read books to the babies and would love that they would kick around while she did that. She helped me with all of my shots. And I will say that three IVF journeys has desensitized my kids to needles as an unintended byproduct, where now we go to the doctor and they just like pull up their sleeves like, oh, this is no big deal. And like everybody's always shocked at how well they handle that. But I'm like, yeah, they just know shots aren't a big thing because they've seen me do it for a good portion of their lives.
Right.
And so just kind of taking all of that into account, on top of just kind of having to rally logistically too, of I've got an appointment this morning. Can you take the kids here? You know, just kind of, there's a lot of moving parts. Once things get moving, there's a lot of hurry up and wait, but once things get rolling, they're rolling. And so just, it's a time commitment, a physical commitment, sometimes even geographical commitment. And so just kind of knowing that once you're in it, there's a lot of moving parts and kind of things to coordinate, and just making sure everybody's aware of that and kind of ready to support you in all the different ways that you are going to need it.
Right. And I think it's important to note here is that the surrogate does not have to keep track of all the things herself, right? Because there are a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of appointments. There's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of professionals and documents and all sorts of things, right? And so it's important to note here that the agency's job is to help, one of the agency's jobs is to help the surrogate stay on track with all the things that are needed, right? And to make sure that she has someone who's always sort of overlooking the process and making sure that everything that she needs to keep track of is organized and she's updated on it, and that no, nothing's falling through the cracks. So I don't want people to listen to this and get overwhelmed and think basically you're managing your whole journey yourself. No.
Oh yeah. No.
No. With a great agency, that the only thing that you should need to do is, in this sense, is communicate and be responsive and follow through. And as far as the organization of all of the different things, you should have multiple multiple ways that your agency is helping you stay on track with those dates and appointments and people that you need to be in touch with and all the different milestones. That's what a great agency does during your journey.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And I had a couple of people ask me after my first one, if I would consider going independent now that I like knew the ins and outs. And I said, absolutely not. Now that I have done this, I know how important all of that coordination is, and that there is absolutely no way I could or would choose to manage all of that on my own. I loved the security that the agency afforded me with that, of knowing that everything's taken care of, everything's handled, and that they definitely help with all of the logistics of everything. So there is a lot to coordinate, but that is where an awesome agency comes into play, because they will make it so it's not stressful at all. They just, it's kind of just part of the process, and it's without question. Like I said, I've done it 3 times and would never consider not going through an agency, just with so much. Not that there's anything wrong if you do choose to go independently. It's just there are a lot of moving parts to manage on your own. And I just personally never felt comfortable doing that. I loved having being able to fall back on them and knowing that if I miss something, they're there, like nothing was going to slip through the cracks and everything was going to be done when it needed to be done, and reminders and all the things. So that's a great point.
Absolutely. I always tell people, and I've said this before, I was really lucky that my independent journey went as well as it did. I really attribute a lot of that to luck, to dumb luck, because there's a lot of things that I would definitely do differently now as someone who's owned an agency and done, you know, hundreds of cases. There's some mistakes that we made during my independent journey, and I didn't know any better. And we just got real lucky that those didn't get messy. So I think back to the topic of commitment, I want people to understand that we're just, when I say we, I'm talking about surrogacy mentor, and I'm speaking on behalf of agencies. I feel comfortable saying that agencies would agree with me that we are just really primarily looking for communication, follow through, follow up, and just making sure that there's an urgency to things that are urgent and a follow through to everything else. And so talking about, relationship, let's shift things from like paperwork and appointments and documents to like relationship with the IPs, the intended parents. And why is it important for a surrogate to be, let's say, attentive to maybe milestones during the pregnancy and keeping the intended parents updated on medical appointments if they're not lucky enough, which most surrogates are not, lucky enough to have intended parents that live close enough to attend medical appointments with you. My intended parents lived all the way across the country on the opposite coast. I know some of your intended parents lived in completely other countries, continents. So keeping intended parents informed and updated and engaged in the pregnancy, that's another form of follow through, right? And commitment. And so talk a little bit about that and why that's so important.
Well, for me personally, I guess I can only speak. It was important for 2 reasons. The biggest one for me was separating that pregnancy out from my own, right? Like everybody always asked if it was hard to not get attached. And for me, it never was, because whenever I got excited, like, ooh, the baby just kicked, it wasn't that I was running to go tell my husband, I was running to go tell the parents or try to get it on video for the parents. And so I think it helped me keep that separate, where I was always wanting to make sure that I was telling them about all milestones and appointments, because it helped me know, like in my brain, whether it be conscious or subconscious, like this is not my baby kicking, this is theirs. So they should be happy. I want them to be excited with me about all of the milestones. And so it really helped me kind of have that separation, of bond and just, of all the things. And I put myself in their position as a mom. Like, I got so excited with all of these firsts that happened during my own pregnancies, and I wanted them to have that same ability as much as they can be, you know, not being in my house to feel the first kicks. I wanted them to be as a part of it as they could be. Mm-hmm. And I will say with all 3 of my journeys, dynamics were different as far as what the intended parents kind of wanted to know and how involved they wanted to be in those milestones. And so just kind of being mindful of where they're at, and what they want to know. Sometimes intended parents, I had one failed transfer and match. They didn't want to know anything until about 20 weeks because of history of loss. And so that obviously just kind of knowing that, at least we kind of established that and what they wanted to know, mm-hmm. Was really helpful because I wasn't sending them updates that they didn't want. And so that helped kind of prepare me for my next one. I asked, do you want updates? Do you want these weekly bump pictures? Because I'm taking them. Do you want them? And just kind of asking how involved they want to be. Some, you know, intended parents prefer to be a little more separate. But majority of the time, they want to know what's going on because it's hard for them to not be there all day, every day as a part of it. And so it definitely helps. Them. So having that commitment too, if you say you're going to send weekly bump pictures or whatever, send the picture, you know, if you say you're going to send stuff to appointments, because in the end it's their kid. Of course they want to know, majority of the information, as long as you've kind of discussed that with them. And if you don't feel comfortable discussing with them, that's a great thing to have your agency kind of work out for you. If you don't ever feel like, well, I don't know, I don't want to ask. Have your agency ask. That's what's great too, is you kind of have this intermediary if things ever get weird or you just don't know how to ask something, they're there to help with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important that people listening realize that, you know, as surrogates, we've had our kids and we know what pregnancy is like. And I speak for myself, I guess, but I was super excited when I was pregnant with my daughter, and all the little milestones were really important. I pretty much knew she was going to be my only kid because I had her at 35, and I, you know, kept meticulous notes in the baby book and pictures and ultrasounds and all that stuff. And I'm so glad I did, because I have that now as she's 11 years old, and I look back on it and I'm like, I'm so glad I kept all this information about my pregnancy. And as surrogates, I would say as a majority, really want to provide that experience for the parents. And so they have something that they can look back on and eventually hopefully share with the child and say, this is your story. This is the pregnancy. This is what was going on. These are the milestones. And the surrogate is the way that that can happen, by, you know, keeping them informed and staying committed to building a relationship of open communication, staying committed to all the little milestone things that you were excited for with your own pregnancy. And that's why we do it, right? Is to watch someone else experience the joys of not only becoming a parent, but the whole process of the pregnancy and all the little milestones.
Yep.
It's part of the joy. It's part of the reward of being a surrogate.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
So I think sort of the overall point of this whole podcast that I just really wanted to talk about was, you know, just like any other endeavor where you're like, okay, I'm getting ready to commit a year and a half or 2 years of my life to this, let's say finishing your degree. I'm getting ready to spend the next 2 years finishing my degree. I know that I'm going to have to commit to showing up for class and setting aside time for my homework and taking time away from my family to do my tests and my projects and my reports. And I know that I've got to follow through and make sure I've got all my books paid for and all my tests scheduled, right? Like all of these things that you commit to do that have deadlines, that have requirements, because you have this ultimate goal in the end of finishing your degree. That same set of dedication and commitment and responsiveness and follow through, it applies to surrogacy and the whole process, because it is a marathon, as I mentioned. It's not, let's just apply to an agency and I'll be pregnant in a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
It's a process. It's months worth of application, screening, making sure you're qualified and able to do this, and then getting you to a point where you can actually start the medical process of IVF and getting pregnant. And I don't want to, you know, sugarcoat that at all and make people think that that's easy, because it's not. It's maybe like a 5%, what I have found in my professional experience, about 5% of people who apply to become surrogates actually make it all the way through the screening process and are qualified to actually become surrogates. So it's not easy. It's not something you're signing up for that's going to be quick or easy, but it's 1000% going to be worth it if you're in it for the right reasons and you're truly ready for this in your life and your family is really ready to make this commitment with you. The rewards far outweigh the frustrations or the time commitment or the hurry up and wait frustration. Would you agree?
Exactly. And I think some of it too is, there are going to be parts of it that take more time than others, like filling out your application or when it comes time to filling out your profile, like those types of things. Yes, they take time. But overall, I would say through a good majority of the process, a lot of these things that they're asking, they don't take a whole lot of time as far as paperwork and things like that go. Check your email. Does this look good? Yes. Did you go to your appointment? Could take you 2 minutes to stay in communication and to be responsive. Obviously, there are parts of it, appointments, things like that, that do take longer. But when we talk about responsiveness, you know, especially in this beginning part, it doesn't take that long to look and just type a reply, you know? So not all of it has to be super involved in time. It just commit to looking at your phone and sending a response. Now, I will say, you know, in my personal life, I'm the worst at like looking at a text message and then forgetting about it and not sending it back. But that's, you know, if you know that that's how you are, set reminders. If you see it, don't put it down. I will say I'm kind of a spacey person in my everyday life, but when it came down to my surrogacies, like, I don't know what happened to my personality, but I went from blase la-di-da to type A very quickly when it came down to that. Mm-hmm. And so kind of committing to, if you know that about yourself and you know that you don't answer things right away, switch gears, set alarms, and just kind of commit to it and just know that that's not the email that you look at and don't answer right away, just things like that. Yeah. And it doesn't have to take forever for a lot of these things. It really doesn't. It just, mm-hmm. it just takes that commitment to do it. Most of it doesn't take that long. Just do it.
Right. And then also a great agency or like us at Surrogacy Mentor, we will always ask people like, what's the best way for us to communicate with you? Are you more of a texter? Are you more of a phone call person? Are you more of an email person, or do you need all three? And so we'll ask that up front, right? And you'll get into a rhythm with your agency or with us where we know how to best communicate with you. And you know that if we need something from you, we're going to reach out to you in the way that's best for you. Let's say that's text message. Like, you're not someone who ever picks up your phone calls, but you'll always respond to a text. Great. Tell us that. As long as we know that, as long as your agency knows that, then that'll be in your file and you'll get in a rhythm with your coordinator where they know if I need something from Jennifer Smith, I need to text her. I'm not going to get a response if I call her or email her. And being communicative in that way is totally fine, as long as we know the best way to communicate with you. And another point that you made that I think is important to clarify is that there is a lot up front that does take some time and energy and effort, just like with anything else in life. But as you get into a rhythm and as you get comfortable with your coordinator and you start to understand each other and know more about each other, that process does become somewhat easy. Not saying the whole process will be easy after the initial application, but just saying that you'll get into a rhythm and you'll get into a familiarity. And then the same thing will happen with your intended parents. It'll be a little awkward at first because you're just getting to know somebody and you're just trying to figure out what's this relationship going to look like. We're doing this huge major life thing together. How do I communicate with these people? But once you get over that initial hurdle, then there's a rhythm there, right? And the texting becomes more familiar and you kind of know what their schedule is and when's the best time to call or text them or send photos and likewise. So I think understanding that, just like with anything in life, it's going to be a little harder and more time sensitive up front, but it does ease into a good flow if mm-hmm. you're communicative and following up and committed to that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think overall, if we haven't said the word enough, this episode was about commitment and follow through and making sure that you are really ready to take on all of the challenges that a surrogacy journey presents. But if you are, know that the rewards and the amazing experiences ahead of you make all of those things seem like nothing. When I think back to my journey, and I'm sure you would agree with this, I don't think about the paperwork I filled out. I don't think about the appointments I went to. I think about the look on the mom's faces when their baby was born. And I think about the pictures that I still to this day, 8 years later, receive of him, and how on every Mother's Day, I get flowers from them saying, because of you, we're able to celebrate this day. Right. And so it's worth it is what I'm trying to say.
Yep. I would do it 1,000 times if I could. It absolutely makes everything insignificant once you get to that point. It doesn't matter. I guess it's kind of like they say about labor and delivery with your own kids. You kind of forget about the pain and all that stuff once they're here. And that's why you do it again, because if you focused on like the worst part of it, then you would never want to do it again. And so it hands down is worth everything.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great place to end this episode today. And as always, we want to encourage you to reach out. If you have questions, you can always schedule a chat with Marielle on our website. That can be a phone call or a Zoom chat. You can ask any questions you like, even over just email. And once you're ready to take that leap and send in your application, we are here to help you through that process and make it as painless as possible. So we just ask that you return our emails.
Yes, please.
That's all we need. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. Again, I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell. Again, want to thank Marielle for joining me for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com. If you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you, you can take our easy 2-minute quiz on our website. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star rating if you enjoyed it. And on our website and our podcast, you can always learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.